If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew 28. But before I get there, today I want to talk about this. Are you ready? Our mandate from heaven. Our mandate from heaven as Christians. God did not create and leave us as Christians on a hell-bent earth without a divine purpose to fulfill on this earth. You agree with that? Good, because then you agree with the Lord on that. Amen? We have a very important function and purpose on this earth while we still have breath in our lungs, while our earth suit is still operating. I'm going to be talking about some points in connection to our mandate from God. And they might be points you really never even thought about before, or maybe you have, it's been a while, or I'm just going to simply take you a little deeper into that. To those things that you thought about in the past. I want to take you deeper than the surface obvious things that, that you thought about so you can be more aware, more equipped, say equipped, to carry out your God-given purpose and mandate from heaven. Let's start off. I want to define the word mandate. Here we go. Mandate, I love this definition. Mandate is defined as an official commission to do something, the authority to carry out, come on, a policy. Oh, I like that. To carry out a policy or a course of action, or to give someone authority to act, and it doesn't just stop there. Listen to this. Authority to act in a certain way. Oh, come on. The authority to carry out a policy or a course of action, or to give someone authority, get this in your spirit, to act in a certain way. Say certain way. Our mandate is a heavenly mandate. It's not earthly, it's heavenly. It's from God himself to carry out the, come on, policies of heaven on earth. We are commissioned from heaven, from God himself, to act in a certain way to carry out those policies from heaven. Oh, my, my. When we as Christians think about our mandate from heaven, our thoughts immediately go to the Great Commission, right, that Jesus gave before ascending into heaven in Matthew 28. Well, let's read that a moment here because the Holy Spirit gave me some points to pull out of this as a foundation. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, let's take a look at. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Now, people who are afraid of flying, they use that last verse. Jesus said, "I'm with you, lo. Lo, I'm with you." Okay, never mind. Now, all right. Here we go. So, we know then that all authority has been given to Jesus. And then he delegates that authority to all those that put their faith in him, and they get born again, right? It's a spiritual authority that has power, say power, to shift, to rearrange things in this natural realm. It's an authority used to overtake the kingdom of darkness on this earth. It's a heavenly authority that changes and impacts things on this earth. Notice Jesus, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and what? On earth." Come on. Jesus is teaching and revealing to us that everything in the natural realm is a manifestation of what's first taking place in the spirit realm. I say it all the time, don't I? Why does he always keep saying that? Because I'm trying to drill it in our heart. Amen. There is a very good reason why Jesus got up early in the morning every day to pray. Why? To impact and shift the spirit realm, and then everything would fall into place in the natural realm throughout the day. Did you just hear what I said? and that his day of ministry for his heavenly Father lined up. Also, to make himself more in tune with the Holy Spirit. You do know Jesus was a man anointed with the Holy Spirit like we are, but his daddy was God. That's why he's the Son of God. You get that, right? But he did operate as a man on this earth, anointed with the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice that Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth. Our authority is the same authority that Jesus Christ himself had, and he's allowing us to use his authority. Now, it's not a different authority. It's not a watered-down authority. It's the exact same authority that Jesus Christ himself walked in. Why? Because he gave his authority to us. Now, that fact alone should make your expectation and your faith stir up and rise up on the inside of you. Thank God that it's not a watered-down version of his authority. It's the fullness of his authority. Man, if you take hold of that, my goodness. Jesus didn't just tell us to get people born again or saved and then leave them alone. No. He told us to make disciples of those people by getting them water baptized and teaching them the word of God. Every Christian is expected to help in the process, come on, of making disciples. Did you know that? Every Christian, y'all need to pitch in and help to make disciples, followers, not just believers, but disciples, disciplined ones that will help to equip others and show them how to operate. When we're making disciples, you know what we're doing? We're showing people how to operate in the authority of Jesus. We're teaching people how to operate in that authority on this earth. We don't need spectators in the body of Christ. No, we got enough of those. We need workers in the vineyard. Amen. We need workers in the vineyard. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't use the word preaching, but rather, what? Teaching. This is important. Listen to me. Now, there's nothing wrong with preaching the gospel and preaching about the kingdom of God, preaching about the word of God. But in the context of making disciples, that can only happen when the word of God is not just proclaimed, but it's taught to people. Did you catch that? The word of God, the kingdom of God, it has to be taught. It has to be explained to them. Amen. That's why Christians can't grow spiritually at a local church where it's only preaching going on. There must be teaching taking place to make disciples. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of the requirements, in fact, of a spiritual leader or a pastor is this. It says, be apt to teach. A pastor must be apt to teach. A desire and a love. Come on. To teach the word of God, to see people grow spiritually. Amen? If that's not in the heart of a pastor, he needs to go find a new job. Right? In fact, there's probably some pastors who are pastoring churches right now, they would probably make better evangelists out on the street because all they're doing is preaching. There's no teaching. There needs to be some teaching going on to make disciples. Amen? Preaching is announcing or declaring a truth, but teaching is explaining a truth. Amen? Preaching will get people born again, but teaching will make them and equip them as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really want to hammer that in your heart right now. So here it is. The definition of the word teaching, listen to this. You maybe never thought of this before. Teaching is actually defined as this, to show or to explain. Say that with me, to show or to explain. We as Christians are teaching people not only with our spoken words by explaining the word of God, but we are also, come on, showing people the word of God by demonstrating it in our life and in our actions. Did you just hear what I said? Teaching is not just by word only, it's by your actions as well. You're not only explaining, come on, you're showing people. We are always teaching people something by our life. Amen. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong. Think about that. Our actions are teaching people something all the time, whether good or evil, good or bad. It should really make us stop and think about our actions and how impactful they are to other people. Especially if you hold a position of very high influence. Did you hear? People who have a position of high influence, they have a greater burden. Amen? So you hear people, these celebrities and all that. Well, I'm not your kid's babysitter. Oh, no. People are watching. Are you following me? We all have a sphere of influence in our life. And people are watching us. They are listening to us all the time. We need to be aware and mindful of that fact and who we represent. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves, wow, I represent Jesus. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Amen? Our mandate from Jesus in a nutshell is to make disciples to advance the kingdom of God. That is a constant operation that will be continually happening until Jesus returns to this earth. Did you know that? That process is going to be continuous until Jesus returns. And it should be continuous in your life until you take your last breath and go home to be with Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to take that purpose of making disciples, and I want to take it in a much deeper level and purpose. The deeper purpose of making disciples is not only to get more people born again on this earth, that's obviously important, that's the starting point, right? But also to advance the kingdom of God on this earth, spiritually and physically. I said advance the kingdom of God on this earth, spiritually and physically. What do I mean by that? You'll find out. Now, I want to start by talking about advancing the kingdom of God at a deeper level that maybe you haven't thought about before or in a long time. These are points the Holy Spirit gave me this week during my time of prayer. And guess how I was praying when this came to me? In tongues, praying in the Spirit. I'm telling you, praying in the Spirit will unlock revelation in your life like never before. In fact, this message flowed out of me very easily as I was at my computer typing. In fact, Mary Ann said, "You're done already?" I said, "Yeah, and that's it just came easy." So that's when you know the Holy Spirit's working. I didn't have to fight for it. I didn't have to like wring my hands for it. Lord, please show me. No. This came very, very easy. Now I want to start off with this. I put a post on Facebook this week that said this. Our mandate from God in connection to the kingdom of God on this earth has never been about fitting in, but rather to positively influence people to get born again and to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to advance righteousness, to release the atmosphere of heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit, and to overtake, say overtake, overtake ground from the kingdom of darkness to be used for holy purposes on this earth, on earth as it is in heaven. So we as Christians, we were never commanded, like I said, to fit in with this evil world system, but rather to impact it and to change it, to shift it, to shift the direction with righteousness. The Word of God, in fact, gives many warnings to us as Christians about not allowing the evil world system to affect us, all right? 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and then I will receive you." Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know the rest. 1 John 2:15 through 17, that whole passage there, says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them or in him. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who what? Called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Oh, I like that. John 17, 15 through 16. Jesus said, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. That they are not of the world, even I am not of the world. Leviticus 20, 26. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. James 4, 4, it says, you adulterous people, do you not know that, here it is, friendship or having things in common with the world is enmity against God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Basically he's saying don't have anything in common with this evil world system. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says this, abstain from every form of evil. Did you write all those down? Okay. We are in the world or around the world system every day. We can't escape it. But we are expected by God to not be of the world. We are in, but don't be of. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Let me show you something here. 1 Corinthians 5. I'm building a foundation here to show you how serious God takes this about us living a holy life to separate us from evil. Why? Not just because God is a party pooper, but because we have a holy mandate from heaven. And that mandate won't be accomplished if we get polluted by the world. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 5. 9 through 13, it says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world or the unsaved or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. Who do you think that's talking about? Christians, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside or those who call themselves Christians? Hello, somebody. But those who are outside, who are unbelievers, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that evil person. So the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, commands us to not even associate, not even keep company with a person that wears the name tag of Christian, who calls themselves a Christian, that's living an immoral life that is inconsistent. Listen to me. That's inconsistent with the commands and teachings in the Word of God. Are you following me so far? Why? Why would God tell us to do that? Why would God tell us to not even go to Taco Bell with that person? Come on, somebody. Number one, the main reason is because it will enable those Christians to keep living a sinful life while seemingly being approved and promoted by other Christians. Sometimes love says, I need to step away from you right now to bring them to the low point. Come on, somebody. Here we go. Are you following me so far? And secondly, why else? Because their evil conduct will eventually negatively influence you and other Christians in their life. That's some good preaching. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. Now, Spiritual backsliding happens one compromise at a time. Did you hear what I just said? Spiritual backsliding happens one compromise at a time. The moment you put the title of Christian on your life, the Word of God literally says this. This isn't James saying it. It's right there in the Word. You are literally fair game to be fruit inspected. Come on. And judged by other Christians in the body of Christ. That's what the Word says. I didn't say it. That's how we are able to judge or decide if we should associate with that person or not. Amen? How are you even to make a decision if you can't make a judgment call of what their life is like? Amen? Paul goes on to say that we are not to judge the world. That's God's job. And why? Because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're without Christ. They're sinning. Surprise! However, someone who names the name of Jesus, someone who wears the name of Jesus, who says they're a Christian, those are the ones we need to fruit inspect. We are also not supposed to separate ourselves from the unsaved because we're the only ones that can lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? Now, that doesn't mean putting an unbeliever in your inner circle. I wouldn't recommend that because eventually it's going to influence you. But we should be influencing them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we are expected to be in the world, but not of the world. We are expected by God to positively impact the world and unbelievers. Jesus prayed for his disciples and for all those that would believe on him in the future. I was going to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. John 17, 1 through 26, you can read it on your own. But here's what I want to say about that. Jesus makes it very clear in his prayer for us that we are not of the world, but that we would maintain the standard of love for God and holiness while we are in this world. We are sanctified by faith in the Word of God. Jesus said, you, my people, are sanctified by the Word of God. Sanctified. And so what does that mean? The word sanctify simply means this, to be set apart, to be declared holy or consecrated. Set apart. It means that we have a divine purpose. Amen. This is all a part of our mandate and commission from heaven. Say mandate. Our faith in the Word of God should dictate what we what? Think, say, and do. And that should separate us from the spirit of this world. Amen? It should cause others to see something different within us and upon us. It should make them want what we have. And what is that? What's the secret? Well, it is no secret. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? With our Creator. That's why lukewarm, say lukewarm. That's why lukewarm is spiritually dangerous. That means you're blending in and you're making no impact as a Christian. Wherever you go, you are not affecting or changing the spiritual atmosphere for better. In fact, you're being sucked in. You're being influenced by negative spiritual atmospheres instead of changing them. Being spiritually hot, say hot, that means you will positively affect the spiritual atmosphere in a physical location. Being spiritually cold will reveal that you are not representing Jesus Christ at all. But lukewarm, this is why lukewarm is so dangerous. Say, I'm ready. Lukewarm will cause you to confess and talk about Jesus and live like the devil. That's why Jesus said, I'd rather you hot or rather you cold. I'd rather you take one side or the other. Because when you're cold, Jesus is not glorified through that. It's evident. Come on, somebody. If you're hot, Jesus is being glorified. But lukewarm, come on. You're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. And it's really what lukewarm is. It's a misrepresentation of Jesus. That's why God says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. because you're misrepresenting me. You're misrepresenting my son, Jesus Christ. So our mandate from heaven is not only to influence people to get born again and then to equip them to be a disciple, but also to advance righteousness, to release the atmosphere of heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit on this earth, listen to me, in physical locations. Say physical locations. We are called and expected to literally, come on, take back ground from the kingdom of darkness to be used for the kingdom of God for divine purposes. Isn't that really what a war is? Think of what is a war? You're taking back ground. It's a country or someone trying to take back ground. Amen? Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take back ground from the kingdom of darkness to be used for holy purposes. Amen? Taking back the ground of your soul also. The Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. That means spiritually and physically. Amen? Countries, states, counties, cities, property, physical locations that are being used for evil are to be overtaken in a spiritual sense to be used to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. I want to get that in your head because this just isn't a spiritual thing. That's why God said this, on earth as it is in heaven. We're trying to advance heaven on earth, and that's within the hearts of people, and it's in physical locations on this earth. We as Christians are always actively trying to enforce and use the keys of the kingdom of God on this earth. We are to take back, come on, what the devil stole. Let's take back what the devil stole. That's warfare. Remember, a war is taking ground back. Amen? We are to occupy until Jesus returns. That word occupy is literally a military word. What's it mean? To take ground back. How many of you want to take ground back in every area of your life? Amen? Every area. Come on. We are expected by God to invade locations with the power of the Holy Spirit, with his love, to positively impact people and physical locations. So we are, in a sense, trying to shift a location. We're trying to shift hearts from an evil and a demonic portal to a holy portal for the manifest presence of God and the angels of God and for the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what we're trying to do. Now, listen to what portal means. Look at the definition of portal. Portal is defined as a doorway or a gate. A doorway or a gate. That's why things that happen in, like murders that have happened in people's houses or very bad things happen. What did it do? It gave place to demons in that house. Did you just hear what I just said? So people are giving place to the devil when the word says don't give place to the devil. So if we're not to give place to the devil, it's possible to give place to the devil. But now it's time to take it back. Say, take it back. So you got to keep in mind, whatever we're doing as Christians, we're always, come on, creating a portal. Listen to this. All of your spoken words, all of your actions, what you, come on, think, say, and do. Here's what you're doing. You're creating either an evil portal or a righteous portal. Oh, my, my, my. Think about that. Now, so how do we shift an evil portal to a portal of the presence of God, of righteous portal, a righteous spiritual doorway or gate? We can do that by coming into a place with a mindset and with a focus that we are teaming up with the Holy Spirit to shift an atmosphere by showing the love of God to people. Hello, somebody. How many of you know the flesh's way of doing stuff is different from God's way of doing things? I said by showing the love of God to people. And I'm going to get into the love topic here toward the end, so stay tuned. It's powerful what the Holy Spirit showed me. So by showing the love of God, by preaching and teaching the word of God in a specific location, right? By prayer in a specific location, by faith-filled, word-filled confessions and declarations, spoken declarations, by praising and worshiping God in that specific location, by casting demons, commanding demons to leave in a specific location, by asking, seeking, and knocking for the Holy Spirit to move in power in that place, by binding and loosing in that place. You get the point, right? Every action, every spoken word, even our mindset. Colossians 3:1 says, set your minds on things above. Why? So you can be a portal for the Holy Ghost and not demons in the flesh. Oh, come on, somebody. We are always creating a doorway and a gate or a portal. The Holy Spirit revealed something to me that we need to know. With doing all those things, and this is what the Holy Spirit said, specifically for loving on people, all right, showing them the love of God, showing them compassion, ministering to people, giving out food, giving them money, and so on when we're ministering to people. Here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring up to all of us today. Are you ready? Don't ever forget to always connect that blessing and that action to the Lord Jesus Christ. Always connect it. If you're going to bless someone, even giving them food, you're doing something, always connect it. Plant a seed about Jesus in their heart. Amen. The point of giving and ministering to people is to tie it together with Jesus and how much he loves them. Because if we don't connect it, that act, that good act to Jesus, it's worthless and in vain. Because why? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He says, because even the unsaved do that. Right. Did you hear what I just said? There's unsaved people feeding the poor. There's unsaved organizations helping the poor. But there's not one bit of tying it to Jesus. So when we do something good to bless someone, come on, what are we going to do? Connect it to Jesus. Always connected to Jesus. Always plant a spiritual seed when you're meeting, come on, a physical need. Oh, plant a spiritual seed every time you meet a physical need. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So we as Christians are always expected to connect everything we do to Jesus so he gets the glory. Amen? We are in a battle, a spiritual warfare, come on, against the kingdom of darkness on this earth. But the type of warfare that we need to wage is not earthly, it's not worldly wisdom, it's not fleshly wisdom. We're not doing it that way. If you're going to do it that way, you're always going to lose. Amen? It must be fought with keys and wisdom from the kingdom of God. If we as Christians are going to shift atmospheres, we're going to take back ground from the kingdom of darkness and positively influence and impact people, it must be done, come on, God's way. It must be done. And let me tell you right now, doing it God's way is against every part of your flesh. And then we wonder why are we making progress? Why does everything seem so hard? Because we're stuck in the flesh. We're trying to fight this battle our way. And God say, no. How you're trying to fight it, you're trying to fight it like the world's fighting it. And it's never going to work. Satan, demons, and the kingdom of darkness, they are counting on us to fall right into their fleshly trap of chaos, of negative emotions. But we need to be aware of their evil schemes. Amen? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Listen to this. Here we go. This is where I'm going to start getting into something that just rocked my spirit yesterday. He said, many of my people have fallen into the trap of the devil by acting and reacting in the flesh toward a person when the goal is to change and shift the heart of people to stop giving in to the influence of demons. And then the Holy Spirit took me to a verse in 1 Corinthians 13:13 that says this, and now abide faith, hope, and love, right? But the greatest of these is what? Love. And he said, love has the presence and the heart of God attached to it. And the enemy hates that. And then the Holy Spirit spoke these words to me. Oh, this was powerful. He said, nothing disengages a person's heart or soul from the flesh, demons, trauma, and emotional pain in their soul like love does. Nothing heals a person's broken heart or soul like receiving love does. Nothing softens a hardened heart like receiving love does. Nothing opens a congested heart or soul to truth. Come on. Like love does. Wow. This hit me like a ton. In fact, this was such a powerful and anointed word from the Holy Spirit. When I was at my computer and those words came to me and I was typing it out, tears welled up in my eyes. That's how overwhelmed in my spirit I was. So I know this was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us a key to warfare that's totally against our flesh. Totally against the world's way of doing things. But listen, it's going to bring victory. The enemy wants us to hold on to and carry hate to our enemies and to those that have cursed us. But God commands us to love them and to pray for our enemies. Why? Why? And all of a sudden, I said, well, okay, Lord, give me more of a reason. And he said this, because it opens up a person's heart to the Holy Spirit. It binds and confuses the demons that are deceiving them. It causes the atmosphere of heaven to invade not only the heart of the person, but that physical location where that love is being shared with them. Oh my. I mean, I was rocked in my soul, in my spirit. Tears came up. Again, it causes a person, when we show love to others, because how many of you know your enemy is not expecting you to be kind? Your enemy is not expecting you to do something good for them and nice for them. Again, it causes the person to disengage, say disengage, from the negative influence of the flesh and whatever demons are affecting them. It allows that person, here we go, ready? This is what the Holy Spirit said. It allows that person to experience, even if it's for a flash, the real them that God created. Because the deepest human need of being loved and experiencing love is happening to them at that moment. Think about that. I just want that to soak in right now. Think about that. That love, that kindness that you're showing them, that they sure don't deserve. They don't deserve it. But God says, if you will walk in love, you're going to see victory. And you're even, in a sense, ready, to the unsaved, you're giving them an opportunity, even for a flash of a second, to make Jesus Lord of their life. Why? Because the only Jesus they might see is that one act of love. Love, agape love, the love of God flowing through us. I want you to start thinking about it this way. Is a weapon against the enemy. Love is a weapon against the enemy. The enemy hates when we walk in love. The enemy wants us to hate others and live a life of confusion and chaos. The real you that God created desires to receive and to give love. Did you know that? Now, I'm going to be dropping something on you in a moment, but think about this way. The renewing of the mind process is not only getting back to a place of humility or purity as like a little child, like we talked about last week, but also, ready, to love others as innocently as a child. Oh, come on. Let that soak in. Love is so spiritually powerful. Remember, faith, hope, love, and God said, love is the greatest. Even out of faith and hope. Come on, somebody, right? So there's something to this love thing then. There's some kind of a spiritual law that God wants us to be aware of. Love is so spiritually powerful. Now, when I was writing this, all of a sudden I had the urge to Google something. Here's what I Googled. I Googled the importance of love for a human. The importance of love for a human. And listen what it pulled up. It said these words. Love is crucial for human survival, longevity, and overall well-being. Acting as a powerful buffer against stress by reducing cortisol while increasing oxytocin and dopamine. It fulfills the fundamental human needs for connection, security, and belonging, reducing risk of depression and anxiety. Furthermore, nurturing loving relationships improve physical health, including cardiovascular health and immune system health, strength. And then it went on to say, key aspects of the importance of love include physical and mental health. Love lowers stress hormones and anxiety, promoting a calm, happy, and a healthy state in the body and brain. Longevity and support. Strong, loving relationships, such as with family and friends, have been linked to, listen, ready? Increased life expectancy. And a decreased risk in loneliness. Next benefit of love, emotional growth. Love fosters personal growth and self-discovery, encouraging individuals to become better versions of themselves. We need each other. Amen? Fundamental need. As social beings, humans rely on connection for emotional security. And this is deeply embedded, it says, in our DNA. God created us to be social beings. Community and connection. Love extends beyond romantic relationships. What does connection do? Providing a sense of purpose and belonging that helps individuals thrive. Let's keep going. How about the key hormonal and psychological effects? It releases, when someone experiences love, it releases the chemical oxytocin, known as the love hormone. It promotes bonding and reduces stress. Dopamine increases feelings of pleasure and reward. Serotonin helps regulate mood and promotes a sense of well-being. Are you catching on to something? This is why people do drugs. They're trying to mask something. They're trying to get this high in artificial, counterfeit ways from the devil. Cortisol reduction. Love helps manage the body's stress response. So I'm on my last page here. Here we go. Listen to that. Wow, it's pretty early too. Merry Christmas early. Listen to this. Isn't that incredible, all those stats? We were created to give and receive love. It's healthy. It's no wonder that God commands us to walk in love toward others. It's no wonder that the greatest of faith, hope, and love is love. It's no wonder, come on, that Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness will do everything in their power to influence hate, division, and every other negative emotion apart from love. And they promote, by the way, seclusion from others. Have you ever noticed, anybody ever been in depression before? Do you feel like going out and visiting people? I know when I had it in the past, I didn't. All I wanted to do was lay on the couch. I laid on the couch for months. Didn't feel like being around anybody. And guess what? That's pretty unhealthy. Amen? That was the devil trying to keep me down from fulfilling my purpose. My purpose is not found laying on a couch. My purpose is not found staying in a dark room all by myself. We're not impacting anybody when we do that. Living a life of love heals. Living a life of love saves lives. Love reveals who God is. In fact, the word says that God is love. Amen? When we walk in love and live a life of love, we are fulfilling our mandate from heaven. You see how now our mandate from heaven? That's why we're carrying out this what? This policy of love. How we do something, it's got to be done in love. That is the mandate of heaven. That's the policy of heaven. We are releasing the atmosphere of heaven on earth. We are setting ourselves up to release the power of the Holy Spirit, not only in our life, but in the person that we're ministering love to. When we walk in love toward others, we are being used as an instrument. Think about it this way. We are being used as an instrument of healing toward others. And it's also ministering to you. So he who waters, the word says, will himself also be watered. So when you give love, you're gonna benefit from that giving of love. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's sitting in your spirit with one big smile on his face. And he says, James, thank you. Thank you for representing me well. I want to bless you. Come on, somebody. So when we walk in love, we are being used as an instrument of healing. We are actively being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. The Word of God says that faith works by love. Faith won't even work properly without love being active in our heart and life. It's time to let go of anger. It's time to let go of bitterness in your life. It's time to let go of selfishness and start walking in the love of God toward God and people. Amen. I want to end this message by reading real quick in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Let's read the definition of love, what the Word of God says about love. I think that would be fitting. We're carrying out the policy of heaven, the way that heaven does it, right? And that's love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, it thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So love never fails. Love always works. You can never go wrong in your life by walking in love toward every person that you encounter, whether that's family, friend, or an enemy. Church, our battle isn't in this natural realm. Come on. It's a spiritual battle that must be fought and won by the principles and the truth revealed in the Word of God. Our mandate from heaven is to think, say, and do everything from our life from the holy standard of divine love. That is what will last and endure the test of time. Amen? It will never fail, and it will always, come on, produce heavenly results. Let's stand up in this place. That is our mandate from heaven. Carry out the kingdom business, amen, with the policy. I love it. Of walking in love. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe you're in this place. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. What does that mean? Why, you have the opportunity. You're feeling yourself being drawn. You're here hearing the Word of God. You're in this place. The Holy Spirit's all over you. Today is that day for you to take that step forward. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now, just get out of your seat and come to one of these prayer team members and say, I want to be born again. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Now, maybe this message really pricked your heart. Maybe in this message, you're thinking about situations in your life and you're like, wow, I really have been fighting things in the flesh. I've really been doing it my own way and not, come on, with heaven's policy. If that's you, just come forward after the service here or even right now and just say, this message pricked my heart. And I want to take up the mandate of heaven. I want to do it heaven's way. Amen. If you're backslidden in this place, it's time to come back to Jesus. Stop messing around. Stop messing around. Come back. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. Yeah, but I'll still go. We don't know. We don't know if you took your last breath. Would you go to heaven? I don't know. God knows. All I know is you need to rededicate your life to the Lord today. If that's you, come on down and pray with a prayer team member. Now, if you never received the Holy Spirit baptism in speaking in other tongues, praying in other tongues, you need to come down and you need to receive that equipment. Amen. Standard equipment in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. The prayer team will minister and pray over you. But what a great service today, wasn't it? Yeah. That praise and worship was so good, so refreshing. So go out with joy, go out with peace, and go out and love someone. Love y'all. You know where to find me if you need me.